Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 9. And we'll read two more narratives about the same scripture reading that I had Brother Neil read. We're going to start after we finished our series on the resurrection last week. So now we're going to start on encounters in Christ again. We've taken a little bit of a sabbatical from that. But I'd like to look at those again, a few more. Encounters with Christ. Remember, we called them divine encounters with Christ. Divine encounters with Christ. Luke chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 9. And keep your finger in Matthew 9, because that's where we'll be after we go there. Our Lord, He went about doing good, didn't He? He went about doing good. He healed the sick, and He healed the blind, cast out demons from people. My, He went about doing good. He healed many who were sick. And you know, if all that was written about the Lord was written down, this world couldn't contain it. You know that? Listen to what John writes. John 25:21, at the very end of the book of John. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. My, how much our Lord did while He was here upon this earth. So let's read first Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 22. Actually, we're going to go a little bit further than that. We're going to go to 26. It came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching, here's Christ, He was teaching, that the Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. Well, this means he was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. Taken with the palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find that way, there were so many people listening to the master in this house that you could not fit another person in that house. And I imagine there was probably people outside listening too. So these men are carrying this man, this paralytic. He can't move himself. They're carrying him. And think of this. I thought about this. What great love they must have had for this man. What great love they must have had for this man to carry him all the way from wherever they were to where Jesus was. And watch what they do. To me, this manifests their love for him, but it also manifests their faith in Christ. Their faith in Christ. Look at this. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the household and let him down through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. They went up on that roof and they started pulling the tiling off that roof. Imagine, I could see the owner, what in the world's going on in my house? They were pulling tiles off there, beloved. Making a hole. And they had a reason to make a hole. Look at this. And let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst. Where do they put him? Right before Jesus. Right before the King. Right before the Savior of sinners. And look at this. And when he saw their faith, now that was God-given faith, beloved. They're taking their buddy, their friend, to the only place they know where he can be healed. Look what our Lord says to them. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their heart, He answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man, now see that word there, those words, Son of Man? That's a title for the Messiah. That's a title for the Messiah, beloved. He's telling them who He is. They're already thinking he's blaspheming because he said, be a good cheer, your sins are forgiven. And they said, only God can forgive sins. And now, here again, our Lord there is, he's just turning them into pretzels, isn't he? He's got them so twisted up, they don't know what to say. But when Jesus perceived their hearts, he answering said to them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easy to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power. That's authority in the Greek. Our King has all authority. He has all authority over everything in this world. I mean everything. Power or authority upon earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And you know what? When we go in for an operation, right? It takes us weeks, sometimes months, sometimes, how depending on how serious the operation or the procedures are, years to recover, right? You hear them faith guys on TV, those false preachers? Say, oh, they do all this supposed healing, right? I got to watch myself there. Those scoundrels and charlatans, yeah. That when you confront them and say, why aren't you down? You know, if I had a gift like that, you know where I'd be? Children's Hospital. And then in all the cancer wards. Right? That's what you, and you would pour yourself out until you were dead, wouldn't you? All of us. But those charlatans, that's what they are. Those fellas, oh, we can only do it in the right setting. No. And notice this healing? Notice this healing, beloved? It didn't take weeks, right? When God heals a person, and you'll notice this in these encounters, when he heals, it's a complete healing. There's no physical therapy needed. This man, look at this. Marvel at this, too. So this man, he was a paralytic, right? His muscles had probably shriveled up. You all know I was in the cast for 6 months when I was a kid. They took me out of that cast. I had to learn how to walk again. My muscles were so weak. I had to walk on those walking steps and do them bars. I forgot how to walk. That's why you have to go through physical therapy and all this. This man had, the muscles are all repaired. This is amazing, beloved. This is a miracle. He picks up his bed and he walks. It says, and immediately he rose up before them. He just got right up. Just like that. That's incredible. And took up that wherein he lay. He even grabbed the thing that he was laying upon. He picked that up and he departed to his own house. And what did he do? Glorifying God. He's probably just praising the Lord all the way home. I'll tell you what, he's a new creature in Christ. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Now turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Here we're reading the narrative here, too. And I love looking at all these different narratives, the way these men write these things, because sometimes there's just little things that are a little different. And all that is them seeing it from their perspective. Luke's a physician. So he looks at he sees those miracles from a physician's eyes. Matthew's a tax collector. Right? My, oh my. And I imagine Luke was amazed being a physician. He is amazed when that man jumped right up and just went right out the door. Oh my goodness. Now looking here, Matthew chapter 9, verses 1-8, and this will be our text today. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemy. Now listen, look at that. They said it within themselves. They didn't speak it out loud. They said it within themselves. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whither is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know, again, he's called the Son of Man here, again, the term of the Messiah, that the Son of Man hath power or authority on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. Oh my goodness. There's power from the words of Christ. See, his words are not just words like ours are words. But his words carry power and authority with them. Right? That's why when the king says, go and fetch him, there's power with those words. That's the king's decree, go and fetch that Mephibosheth. Well, we're the Mephibosheths. And the Holy Spirit comes with fetching grace, beloved. Power and brings us back. So we stand before the king, or we don't stand, we bow before the king, and he says, fear not. Oh my, it's wonderful, beloved. I get so excited about this. This is amazing. Look at this. Rise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. And he arose and departed to his house. And we know from the narrative in Luke, he went home glorifying God. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now take note, this man is a paralytic. He cannot help himself. He can't take himself to where Jesus is. He's a paralytic. He's paralyzed. He can't help himself. His friends can't help him. They can't heal him from his situation that he's in, can he? So what do? They bring him to the one who they've heard can heal the sick. Can heal the sick. They bring him to not just the one who can heal the sick. They bring him to the great physician. See, do we not by prayer bring our family members and friends to the great physician? And put them at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, please, if it's your will, save them. Please, Lord. If it's your will, have mercy upon them. Oh, we do, don't we? Oh, we do. But little did this man know. He woke up that morning. He didn't know he was going to have a divine appointment with God. He had no idea. Remember Zacchaeus? He woke up that morning. He didn't know he was going to have a divine appointment with God, but he sure did, didn't he? The Gadarene demoniac? He woke up that morning when the Lord appeared to him or came to him. He had no idea. He had a divine appointment. We had no idea that we had a divine appointment with God when he saved us, did we? We had no idea at all. But it was all planned and purposed by God. So as we look at this, this is all planned and purposed by God. This is all part of the grand scheme, the great plan of salvation. My, oh my, that God planned and purposed in eternity. This man did not know at the beginning of the day that he'd be walking home with his bed under his arm. That thought probably never even entered into his mind. He probably thought he'd be in this state for the rest of his life. But God had appointed that his friends, that this day his friends would bring him and lower him down to be at the feet of Christ. And we can see in our text that these men, they'd been given God-given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. These men who bought their friend, because the Lord says here, Jesus, verse 2, and Jesus seeing their faith. You see, God honors the faith that he's given. Look at that. My, oh my. I want us to go through five biblical facts to keep in mind as we look at these studies, these encounters in Christ, these divine appointments that we'll look at. I want us to keep five things in our minds, and most importantly, we need to keep in our minds that salvation's of the Lord, right? and that no man or woman can save themselves. We can't save anyone else. We can't save ourselves. It's not possible for us to create a new heart in another person. We can't even create a new heart in our own heart. We can't give anyone faith. We can't give anyone repentance. We can't even believe unless God grants us faith to believe. We can't even repent unless God gives us repentance. And when we have faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when that's given to us by God, remember what I've said many times, faith and repentance is like a piece of paper. On one side is faith, and on the other side is repentance. If God gives you faith, you will repent. You know why, though? Because you're born again first. You must be born again. And that's, again, all the work of the Spirit. So here's five facts plainly revealed in the Word of God as we go through these divine encounters. All men by nature are totally depraved. Totally depraved. Helpless, lost, spiritually dead. And no man or woman of their own accord or by their own free will seek the Lord and come to Christ. That's just so plainly stated. Number two, God has an elect people in this world whom he has chosen for himself in eternal love. And he is determined to save them. And they will be saved and not one of them will be lost. Number three, the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed those chosen of God by his own precious blood and by the merit and efficacy of his blood. And he shall bring them into eternal glory to be with himself forever. Number four, God the Holy Spirit shall effectually quicken, regenerate, and preserve all those who were chosen by God the Father and redeemed by God the Son, calling them to faith with irresistible grace, or I like to say invincible grace. You cannot resist it. If God will bring one of his sheep and they cannot resist it. People say, well, you can use your free will. Oh, have fun with that. Oh, my. Oh. Our will is in bondage to our nature. If you're not born again, you have a dead nature. And all you're going to do is choose sin. But if you're born again, you're going to run to Christ. You're going to run to him. And you're going to be drawn by irresistible grace. Invincible grace. No man can stop it. When Christ is drawing one of his sheep, no man can stop it. No man. And number five, God uses saved sinful men to reach the hearts of men and women with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He used the Hebrew maid to convince Nahum, didn't he? He used Andrew to find Peter. He used the Samaritan woman. Remember the woman who talked at the well with Christ? We looked at that divine encounter. What'd she do afterwards? She went and told the people in the city, "All, come see this man who's told me all that I've done." And there wasn't just her as the lost sheep there. There was a whole, we found out there was a whole multitude of people there in that city who the Lord saved. He used Philip to call the Ethiopian eunuch by telling him who it was. He preached Christ to him from the book of Isaiah. And the Lord still uses saved sinners in his mighty operations of grace by which he saves chosen sinners through the preaching of the gospel. And it's God's good pleasure to use sinful men to proclaim the gospel to sinful men. See, I'm a sinful man, a saved sinner, preaching the gospel to some who are saved and to some who are lost. And I just preach the gospel. And it goes forth from here, right? And God does with it whatever he's pleased to do. My hope is that it will bless your heart. And if you do not know him, that he give you faith to believe on him. And that he'd regenerate you by the power of his Holy Spirit and give you faith to believe on him. Then you'd be a saved sinner too. My. Then you'd be like this man who picked up his bed and glorified God and went home. Oh, my. Oh, it's God's good pleasure to use sinful men to preach the gospel of his grace. He could use angels. He could speak to man directly if he chose, but He's chosen to speak to men through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the preaching of his word. And he uses sinful men to preach that gospel. What a privilege. I'll tell you what, there's no limitation to God's sovereignty. He's not limited at all. We're limited. We're limited by our strength. We're sometimes even limited by our intellect sometimes. Right? Sometimes we want to do something, but we don't have the power to do something. God don't have that problem. There's no limitation to his sovereignty. Listen to what Paul wrote about believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29. And that he's pleased to use the foolish things of the world. That's me. You know what foolish means there? Doesn't mean we're stupid. It means we're common people. That's what God uses, the common people of the world. Common folks like you and I. Listen to this. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Remember young David, his big strapping brothers? They're all lined up. Samuel went all the way down and God said, that one's mine. The smallest and the weakest one. Oh my. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's why our friends look at us, Dave, and say, what happened? And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world. Yeah, he does, doesn't he? And things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. I got nothing to glory in with myself. But I can glory in my King. And so can you. We can glory in him, can't we? Look what he's done for us. He saved us from our sins. My, oh my. We see in today's text that God used these four friends of this man to bring him to Christ. And this is brought forth, and again, in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 2, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you if you want. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. So there was four of them. Four of them bringing this man to our great King. And again, they must have loved this man. They must have loved this man to do this. They climbed the roof. They climbed up to that roof. They took that roof apart just to get him to the feet of Christ. They must have really loved this man. My, oh my. They got him to the feet of Christ. And our Lord looks, and then he speaks of their faith. Look again at verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, seeing that God had given them faith. Who are they bringing them to? Who's the object of our faith? They're bringing them to Christ. That faith that God had given them will always take them to Christ. Look at that. They're lying on the bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, here are four of the Lord's sheep bringing a lost sheep and putting them down by rope. And I bet you they were real gentle with them. And brought them and put them right at the feet of Christ. And this paralytic, he didn't know he was one of the lost sheep. He had no idea. He had no idea. Oh my. And oh, they lowered this lost sheep. These four sheep. Lord, this lost sheep before our great King. And they believed that the Lord could heal them. He says they had faith. Faith in Christ. Oh, they believed it. They believed that they could get him to the feet of Christ. He could heal them. And this miracle is among the many. Now this miracle is a confirmation of the Godhead and of his mission as the Messiah. The prophet Isaiah, turn if you would to Isaiah chapter 35. We'll read this here. And we're going to see that what we see in our text today was prophesied in the book of Isaiah. Look at this. This is absolutely wonderful. Our dear brother Isaiah, he prophesied about the great Redeemer, the Messiah. And look what he says in Isaiah 35, verses 4 to 8. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. There's that word, those two words again, beautiful words. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come, and look at this, and save you. Who came and saved us, beloved? Our God. The Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, came and saved us. And then look at this. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass and reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there. Oh, there'll be a highway there. Look at this. And a way. Notice, and there shall, and a highway, singular, and a highway, singular, shall be there. And a way, singular. Right? And it shall be called the way of what? Holiness. How are we made holy? Only in Christ. Who's the way, the truth, and the life? Who's the way? Christ. We're on the straight path, aren't we? The King's highway. Oh, this is speaking of Christ. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. Well, look at this back in, look in verse 6 there. It says, then shall the lame man leap as an hart. Marvel again at the scripture here. It says in our scriptures in Matthew 9:7, and he arose and departed to his house. The lame man got up and walked out. So that prophecy is being fulfilled right in this text before our eyes. In Luke it says, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. He was lame and he's out there walking right out the door. Oh, what a miracle of grace, beloved. Now let us observe two acts in this text, which are proof of the Lord Jesus Christ's deity. Two things in this text that are absolute proof of the Lord's deity. This is incredible here. Proof of his eternal power and Godhead, which he manifests towards this man. The first proof of the Lord Jesus Christ's deity was to pardon this man's sins. He pardoned this man's sins. The scribes knew from the scripture that only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. And they had come with malice. They came to entrap our Savior. They came to entrap our Redeemer, beloved. And our Lord manifested the fact that he was God in the flesh by forgiving this man of all his sins. Our Lord, think of this. Our Lord, when they lowered that man to his feet, our Lord was gazing on one of his sheep that had been given to him from eternity by God. He was looking, there's one of my lost sheep. And that man had no clue, did he? Did we have any clue we were the Lord's sheep? None at all, did we? And he's gazing at this man with love, just like he does to all his sheep, every one of us. Oh, my. The scribes and the Pharisees didn't know this man was one of the Lord's sheep. They had no idea. The paralytic didn't know, but Christ did. And beloved, this man is brought before him. This man who's brought before him, he's put down before him, he's one of those who Christ has loved with an eternal love. Think of that. He's looked upon us when we were enemies in our minds to him. And he looked at us with an eternal love, beloved. This is one of his sheep. Oh my, it's wonderful. This is one who he'll soon shed his blood for. This is one who will be with him in glory forever. Look at verse 2 again and marvel at the words of our great Redeemer to this man. This man could not help himself in any way, could he? No way. There's no way for him to help himself. He couldn't change the state that he was in. His friends couldn't change the state that he was in. But look at this, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, look at that. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, none but God can forgive sins, beloved. None but God can forgive sins. And in this text, we see our Lord Jesus Christ proclaiming his deity. He doesn't have to say, I'm God. He's proclaiming it by saying, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Just with those words, he's proclaiming his deity. That's why the Jews said, this man's blasphemy. They didn't say it out loud, though. They said it within their hearts. This is the word of God proclaiming these words. This is the word of God incarnate. This is no mere man. This is the word of God incarnate. He's proclaiming these wondrous words. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by the exercise of his authority, proclaimed to this man that his sins were forgiven. And note, he proclaimed this even before he healed him physically. He hasn't healed him physically yet. But he looks at this man and says, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. One may ask, why? Why is he forgiving him for his sins before he's healing him, his physical state? Well, he was brought to the Lord by his four friends. The crowd was so large that they climbed up on the roof and they opened up a hole in that man's roof, the roof of that building. And they lowered him down. And that'd have to be a pretty big hole. That'd have to be a pretty... My, oh my, that's a good size hole. And they let him down in front of the Savior, and we see that the first words that the Lord speaks to this man is, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. The first words that he speaks to him. Now, if he healed this man physically without his sins forgiven, this man'd still be in a tragic state, wouldn't he? He'd still be dead in trespasses and sins. So he does that which is most needful first. Oh, what's the need of every man, woman, and child upon this earth? To have their sins forgiven, right? Whether they think it or not. It's the most desperate need of mankind. Think of this. How would you like to have a healthy body and a dead soul? There's so many that we rub shoulders with that are like that. We were like that. Until God, by his grace and his mercy, regenerated us. He found us dead in trespasses and sins, didn't he? He quickened us. He gave us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we sing glory to his name. And look at this. Our Lord is proclaiming to this man that his sins are forgiven. And then he uses the word son in verse 2. This is a wonderful title, beloved. This is a wonderful title. He gives this title to the sin-sick sinner lying on the bed, waiting to be healed. And oh, the tenderness of our Lord and Savior, the tenderness of our King to sinners in misery. Because of our sinfulness, we're in misery. But look at the kindness that he shows to this man calling him son. He's one of those who God gave him in eternity. He's one of the Lord's. He's one who's soon going to cry, Abba, Father. And how do we know that? Well, he went home glorifying God, didn't he? He's going to have a new song on his lips and his tongue. Oh, I bet you he couldn't keep his mouth shut for weeks after that. I bet you he just anybody he could talk to, he probably for the rest of his life, he probably told them about what Christ did for him. Oh my. Oh, it's amazing. And look in verse 2 again. Let's read it. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Only God can forgive sins. So this is a manifestation of his deity, beloved. This is a manifestation of who he is. He's proclaiming to them by saying those words to that paralytic man. He's proclaiming, I'm God. I'm the Messiah. We know that too because later on he calls himself the Son of Man, which again is a title of the Messiah. But look at these words. Look at these remarkable words. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. What a remarkable statement. God honors the faith of those men. God honors God-given faith, beloved. My, it's amazing. And when he saw the faith of these four friends and the man who lay before him on the ground, he granted him forgiveness. Look at that. Thy sins be forgiven thee. How many? All of them. All of them. That's God saying that to this man. That's not no mere man saying that. We know that no man can forgive our sins, right? And they can't make their own sins go away. Why do people go to some man that tells them to go and do this and do that? Gospel preachers, we point you to Christ. You go to Christ. He's the only mediator between God and man. He's the only one who's got the power to forgive sins. He's the only one who's got the authority. Oh, wherever there is faith in Christ, there's assurance of adoption. Look at that. Son. It's one of his. Son. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven. It's a word that implies sonship. Sonship. And think of this too. Think of this. The master publicly announces that he owns this sinner. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh my! No wonder we rejoice. No wonder we sing God's praises since he saved us. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll see where this is bought out. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. He publicly owned this sinner as his own child. So this man's mine. He's mine. Look at this, Galatians 4, verses 4 to 6. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Remember what he said to this man? Son. He's identifying that he's his. Oh. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Never used to do that. Oh, praise be to God. This is cause for great... If the Lord hadn't even healed that man, that is cause for great joy, beloved. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. That is cause for great joy right there. And that's what he said to we who are the redeemed, hasn't he? Our sins are all forgiven, beloved. That's cause for great joy. This poor, helpless sinner before him, he tells him his sins are forgiven. And then they heal him further on down in the text. Again, but he proclaims that he's one of his sheep. Son, be of good cheer. He publicly proclaims that his man's sins are all forgiven. Oh, what a manifestation of his deity. And he says, be of good cheer. Well, that's something to make you cheerful, wouldn't it? Oh, my. If we are a child of God, we have reason to be filled with good cheer. My, no matter what our earthly condition is, we're forgiven. Let us be of good cheer. And wherever there's God-given faith, there's forgiveness. Again, marvel at these words, thy sins be forgiven thee. All who trust in Christ are forgiven of all our sins, washed in the precious blood of Christ. And that forgiveness is complete. That forgiveness is perpetual. That forgiveness cannot be taken away. God never changes. And the believing sinner, with all his sins paid for, can be of good cheer then, can't we? The second point I'd like us to see in this text is, which is proof of the Godhead of Christ, was Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. Now we can speak to each other and know each other's thoughts by what we speak, but we can't ever know what one's thinking in their mind. But you know, God knows our thoughts. He knows everything we think. Oh my. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 9, verses 4 to 7. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? They hadn't even spoken a word. They hadn't come out and said, this is blasphemy. But they thought it. For whether is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man, there again, there's a proclamation of who he is. God, the Messiah, hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. Marvel at that. Our Lord Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. This proved that he was the God-man. So he's twice in this portion proved that he's the God-man. By saying, all your sins are forgiven to that man. And now, by reading their thoughts. And think of this, too. Again, he first forgave this man of all his sins. That's the one needful thing for every human being, whether they believe it or not. Must be forgiven of our sins. This is why Christ came, right? To save his people from their sins. To save sinners from their sins. Now, we cannot know the thoughts of any man or woman. Only God and God alone knows the thoughts. Listen to what it says in Genesis 6:5. It says this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of their thought of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I don't know your thoughts, but God knows them all. Every one of them. My. So first of all, our Lord heals this man spiritually, right? By saying, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And now our Lord, he's going to exercise his power and authority by healing this man physically. So he's proclaimed who he is, right? By saying, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee." So he's proclaimed there by saying those words that he's God. Then he's showing again that he's God by reading their thoughts. And then he said, "Son," he called himself the Son of Man again, saying he's the Messiah. And look at this. Now he's going to exercise his power. This man is laying on that bed. He can't even help himself. He's paralyzed. You think that a miracle performed right before their eyes, you think that they just go, "This man must be God." You know? But think of all the things that God did for us in our life before we were saved. Protecting us, taking care of us, guiding us, directing us, and we didn't see it at all. Now we look back, don't we, and go, "Oh my goodness." The old timers used to call it prevenient grace, grace before grace. My, it's amazing. And look at here, he's going to exercise his power. Look at verse 6 again, he says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power," that's authority again on earth, "to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." Now, when God speaks a commandment, there's always power that comes with it. When Christ speaks this, there's always power. Because look what it says. He has all power. Son of Man hath power, authority on earth. And you know what? Those demons knew who he was. Remember again the Gadarene demoniac? "We know who thou art, thou Holy One of God." And they were fearful. Scripture says, you know the devils and the demons are smarter than most men? Says the demons, they believe and they tremble. Now, they don't believe with saving grace. They just know who he is. They tremble. What great power is displayed here. What great power is on display. Only God can forgive sins, and only God can read the thoughts of the men, and only God can heal this lost sheep. Just with a command. "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Again, truly the words, turn if you would to Isaiah chapter 61. Truly, again, the words of Isaiah are fulfilled right here before our eyes in Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. Scripture declares, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." He had all power, beloved. "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Freedom. "And the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Look at that. That's what we are. That he might be glorified. Now these scribes found fault with the words of Christ, which Christ spoke to this man who was sick of the palsy, and they secretly said among themselves in their own minds, this man speaketh blasphemy. They probably supposed that no one knew what they were thinking. No one knew what they were thinking. Well, I'll tell you what. They had yet to learn that the Son of God could read hearts and discern spirits. Their malicious thought was publicly exposed. Publicly exposed, and they were put to open shame, beloved. Now, this is an important lesson for us. This is an important lesson for we who are God's people. Nothing can be concealed from the Lord. Nothing we think is concealed from him. Nothing. What we think of in private when no one sees. What do we think of in church when we seem grave and serious? What are we thinking at of this moment? We hear these words. God knows them all. God knows all our thoughts. All of them. And this should humble us, eh? It's humbling to know that. But you know what we ought to thank God for daily? The blood of Christ. That cleanses all our sins, even our thought sins. Praise be to God for the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. His blood cleanses us from all sin, even the sins of thought. Oh, praise be to God for his mercy. Lastly, let's see again how our dear brother in Christ reacted when he was forgiven of all his sins. He was healed from his paralytic state. Matthew 7:9-7 brings forth, and he arose and departed to his house. Up he went. Lord said, arise, and he got up, took his bed, and went right out the door. What a miracle, beloved. And Luke says in verse 25, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he laid and departed to his house, glorifying God. Whoa, he is so full of joy, beloved. He's glorifying God. May we leave this place knowing today that all our sins are forgiven. May we leave this place glorifying.